Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Beyond the Hive, where we're talking all things Charlotte Hornets and NBA basketball, all the stuff you want to hear about. I'm your host, Aaron. You can find the show on Twitter at Beyond Hive. Give us a follow. You'll get a follow back. And you can subscribe to the show anywhere you get podcasts. Leave a nice review as well, and we'll read it on air. We're joined today by Joseph Nation. He's at JNA1. We are also joined by James Boo at JamesBoo9 and Low Key Tiki, Pete Ledstone. Gentlemen, how are you all doing?
Much better fed than the earlier podcast from today.
Currently 3:47 a.m. And I'm going strong.
Oh my god!
Yeah, powering through. Got my smoothies.
Well, Jesus. Okay.
I always feel so bad when you mention the time.
I want to ask Pete. So, because we record to pretty obscene times, in that dump of the country you call England. But anyway. And I was wondering, when we finish recording, 4:30, do you even sleep? Are you good at sleeping when, the sun's out and your circadian, rhythm and that sort of thing is all disrupted and your body's keeping you awake with all the hormones and stuff? Cause that's what happens apparently.
If I haven't mentioned before, I am a bartender and late nights are kind of a thing.
Yes.
But with you guys, late nights become later. And I think I just kind of try sneak in naps in between my days, not to fuck up my schedule too much, but still come up, firing for the podcast, ready to talk about everyone's Marmite related needs.
Good deal. So, we've talked playoff basketball. The other huge Hornets related news is probably the release of the Rookie of the Year votes. And I've got the list here. Let's see. Of course, the winner.
Wait, so it actually still blows my mind. So PJ got not even a third place vote.
Not even a single one.
Not a single vote.
I can't believe that. I did at the time, but for some reason now it's just hit me. He didn't get a single vote. Oh my goodness.
What? RJ Barrett got a vote. Terrence Davis.
RJ Barrett, mind you, arguably one of the 10 worst players in the league this year.
I'm not even that mad at RJ. Because
Eric Pascal, Kobe White. I mean, Terrence Davis.
Pascal was just worse. In the same position as PJ, forced into a starting role on a bad team, Pascal was just worse. There's no way around that one. Kobe White, other than that stretch to close the season where the Bulls were completely eliminated and he just kind of scored a bunch of points in a bunch of meaningless games, Kobe White was significantly worse. And that's the thing running through these where it's all these guys who got votes at the end were just worse. But then we eventually get up to Kendrick Nunn, and that's the one that's really irritating. Because Kendrick Nunn plays second, right? And was second over Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson was good and should have been ahead of PJ, and I get that, but he didn't play enough games, and so I get not voting for him. I get voting for him ahead of Nunn. Either way. I get Brandon Clark over Nunn. Brandon Clark over Nunn was obvious. Brandon Clark should have been your second place vote if you're not willing to vote for Zion. I'm fine with Brandon Clark over PJ even. Looking at it, per game-wise, PJ was better, but PJ was playing more. Clark was consistently scoring more, consistently more efficient. That argument, I don't think, is necessarily a strong winning one for the Hornets fans. I think PJ's a better prospect for the long run, and I think he wasn't that far off from Clark this year. But I don't think it's just, I don't think that's a battle worth fighting when Kendrick Nunn exists. Because Kendrick Nunn, the entire reason Kendrick Nunn plays second in Rookie of the Year voting comes down to two things. One, overvaluing his points per game, which were completely empty and were obviously empty, and obviously he wasn't going to play in meaningful games, and overvaluing the fact that he played for the Heat, who, the Heat were a good team, and most of the competition was not, But the reason the Heat were a good team had absolutely nothing to do with Kendrick Nunn and his 17 points on, like, I think it was like two standard deviations below league average true shooting. That rant went too long without breathing. And so that's the thing with Kendrick Nunn that makes it so frustrating, is it's like, yeah, he scored more. PJ was just better across the board outside of that. PJ was actually efficient. PJ was actually capable on defense. You know, PJ wasn't actively hurting his team by just seeking out baskets after baskets. And so that's the thing that's so frustrating about Nunn being second, is that, like, yeah, Kendrick Nunn is a horrible human being for what he did to his domestic partner in college. Yes, we get that. Yes, we all know that the media coverage around that has been poor. But even from a pure basketball standpoint, Kendrick Nunn had no business being second place in the Rookie of the Year voting. And that's extremely frustrating to watch him beat out PJ Washington, who by all accounts was an excellent player for us this season. And even more so to see him second while PJ doesn't get a single vote after having been a better player all season. I don't mind PJ getting no votes, because in a perfect system, like, PJ would not have been on my ballot. I'll go ahead and say that straight up. Like, if I had a ballot of three players, I would have voted for, in order, Morant, Zion, and Clark.
Oh, okay.
PJ would have been fourth. I don't mind players who miss games, because missing games happens. If you're not permitting Zion, then PJ should have been on. It's just extremely frustrating to me that it's Nunn that's the person who gets there. And it's especially frustrating in wake of Devontae getting so significantly underrated in the most improved voting. Admittedly, Brandon Ingram won the most improved voting, and so they just clearly weren't actually looking at actual basketball in the first place. But, and directly following that up with PJ, because it feels like the general sentiment is that Charlotte is not... The general media did not watch Charlotte, did not understand who was actually good for us, did not understand actually what was going on here, and it resulted in our players just not getting afforded the credit they were due. We didn't have great players, but we did have players who should have been in contention for some of these awards, and they just were ignored and underrated and, you know, just completely skipped out on because they played in our market, and that's really something that I don't want the organization to be okay with, and I don't want to be okay with as a fan. I'm feeling ranty today, apparently.
That was all-time stuff. And then, to be honest, I thought Joe was a little bit like our man, Bobowski. Like, he just resigned to this, and he was... Oh, well, actually, Bub just goes off anyway. But I thought Joe was, you know, the mild-tempered, you know, the wise, worldly sort of guy who's used to this. But, yeah, no, he's got some fire in him.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I know that the players don't care. I've talked with enough front office people who know that the players don't care. I don't know if our players specifically don't care, but, like, players across the league at large don't care. But at the same time, like, as a fan, it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Devontae at least got two votes for most improved. But, yeah. I don't know. This.
The only, like, the thing that it gets me is like, if it's a vote between, I don't know, us four, or it's a vote between the players on the team, or whatever. It's a vote of 100 people. 100 people thought that PJ Washington wasn't even close to getting a win out of the top three, which I think is a darn shame, considering how varied people's opinions are across the board.
I'm wondering, given the number of beat writers that are usually given votes for this, if, like, you know, did Rick Bunnell have a vote or something and just not vote for PJ? Or, you know, did they just not have a Charlotte beat writer at all and still take beat writers from other teams? Because if so, that's a problem. Because those guys are inherently watching more of their teams. It results in stuff like, say, Jared Allen getting an all-defensive team vote, which, you know, not even the worst all-defensive team vote, considering Andre Drummond got one, too. And there was one other egregious one who's completely... Oh, Hassan Whiteside, right.
Did Finney Smith, Kleber, or Porzingis get one?
Do what?
Did Finney Smith, Kleber, or Porzingis get a defense?
I don't think so. But yeah, like, and that's the thing, like, if you're having beat writers vote on this, you need to have reasonable representation of those beat writers and not just, you know, throw them out there to beat writers as they come, because practically speaking, beat writers follow a team specifically, and so they know more about one team, and having no representation from Charlotte probably hurts us.
Are you sure they didn't have any representation from Charlotte? I'm pretty sure Rick had
I'm not, but at the same time, like, I don't believe Rick has had a vote in the past. I can probably check
Well, the thing is, because if, I think you've got, you want to say yes and legs, because I think if Rick had a most improved vote, he would have gotten Terry Rozier onto the ballot. So
you're not wrong.
Oh, fuck. I probably shouldn't say any bad stuff about Rick, because, you know, I don't know. We want to
get him on the show.
Make it big.
Yeah, we got to get him on the show somehow.
Get him on the show, yeah. I mean, yeah. To be honest, though, like, because, I've seen enough of Rick's tweets, even though he's blocked me on Twitter. I don't think he really would have known, like, I think he probably would have, like, put none in his vote anyway, just because, like, he sees PJ and he probably doesn't even see, like, you know, all those help rotations and the really quick decision-making, that sort of thing. And then he'll just look at, you know, none's 17, as Joe's been saying, and vote him. Because, like, to be honest, the fact that Kobe White got a vote, it just shows, you know, some people don't have the best eye test, and that's to be fair, like, that should be fine. But maybe, like, if we're voting on awards that, as Joe said, Rookie of the Year is probably not a huge deal, but, like, we do the same thing for all defense and all star, that sort of all NBA, right? And, like, that actually affects people's salaries, so probably would be a good idea to get people to know what they're talking about, I reckon.
Kendrick Nunn being on there is pretty rough. It doesn't look like Rick Bunnell has a vote. He wrote a article July 29th where he talks about surveying 10 voters for at least for most improved, so I would take that to mean that he doesn't mention he himself having a vote.
But also, weirdly, we don't have individual ballots for any of the awards, as far as I can tell, which is really weird. Like, usually we have them day of that the award comes out, and apparently they just haven't out yet.
It's a conspiracy. Is it fair to say that Kendrick Nunn wasn't even the best rookie on his team? Because looking at some of the advanced stats,
you just want to pump up Tyler Kubek, boy.
I'm sticking with it. Okay. Looking at several of his advanced stats: better rebound or better assists. Fewer assists, but
better player.
Kendrick Nunn, higher turnover ratio.
I don't think this is the choir you want to preach to about Tyler Hero.
All right, that's fine. I agree. Everybody okay though with Brandon Clark ahead of PJ, or do you think that's should be closer?
Split in half.
Well, the thing is, it is. But it's kind of just because, like, the same people who I feel like this, the people who just, like, jack off about Brandon Clark, they're just the same people who, like, on Twitter jack off about LaMelo Ball, Killian Hayes, and we can edit that out because I don't want to get blocked by more people. But the thing is, like, Clark wasn't he was a rookie the same as PJ. I don't think he was as good. Like you'd think the gap would be between them on defense, right? But I don't really think there was. That much of a gap. Like, Clark was probably over more active at the rim, I guess. But, I think it's actually pretty close to 50-50. I'd take PJ, but I kind of say Clark, but yeah, it really should have been you know, it shouldn't be. Like, I think people think Clark's better than PJ. I don't think it should be, like, undisputed like that.
Mm-hmm. So is it more likely now that PJ doesn't make first team all-rookie that he'll be relegated to second team?
I'm genuinely nervous about second team right now.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about this in the subreddit, but there's still a few names. There's your boy Hero, and I'm sure you won't be too upset, Aaron, if Hero makes it over PJ. Like, that's not the worst thing, but I would be quite upset. And then you've also got, yeah, no. I'm surprised Tybalt didn't get a vote for Rookie of the Year, because I feel like just surely one person just thinks, oh, you know, playing. Well, I mean, because you get, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure some one person watched the vlogs and were like, I like this guy.
I'm actually very glad that Terrence Davis got the votes over him out of the, like, role player defensive wings. Because Davis was better than Tybalt by most accounts. But yeah, like, Davis is weirdly the guy who stuck out to a lot of people as, like, hey, why is he getting a vote? Like, weirdly, I think he was actually relative. I think Davis was better than PJ in his role. It's just that his role was much smaller. And that's always a tricky trade-off to actually account for.
Oh my god. First we got Big plugging Marmite, now we've got, yeah, we've got Joe just talking down our guys. I'm feeling a bit down.
I'm also talking up an Ole Miss grad, which is not a common thing.
That's true. The Miss State?
Ole Miss is rivals with the school that my parents
have. Oh, okay.
The Blind Side.
So that's
The Blind Side.
I know American culture.
Yeah, you go.
I watch movies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. All right, great. Anything else? No. All right.
I mean, well, at least Rui didn't get a vote. I think that's something, because I think a lot of people have him as the premier 2019 draft power forward too.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't be saying that because, like, I'm Asian and proud an Asian's made it, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's see. Let's transition into a Beyond the Hive of international proportions and just see if our international friends can stump the Americans. And especially me, demonstrate my complete lack of culture. So,
so finally, we were talking over doing this wee segment earlier on, and Aaron fucking deflated my balloon when I was like, I've got some good ones, and he's just like, is one of them a Scotch egg? I was like, yeah, one of them was a Scotch egg. They already knew, so that took one out of the race. But I thought we'd go for something a little bit, not too hard. We're going to go with black pudding.
I have actually had black pudding, and it was in the same meal that I had the Scotch egg.
Oh, was this the English restaurant in Charlotte? Which I think is mental.
Was.
That was the English restaurant anywhere. Our cuisine is.
Yeah, I think
limited.
It's probably the only English restaurant I've ever seen. But yeah, black pudding, and I think I had blood sausage or blood pudding or whatever it's called as well. Like, there were two different kinds.
Aren't they the same thing?
Well, they're related, but I'm not sure exactly what the difference is. I think there is one, but I've not been exactly clear as to what it is.
Oh, if you're looking to me to tell you, I don't have a clue. Apparently, black pudding is a distinct regional type of blood sausage. And if anyone wants to know what goes in it, that's pork blood, pork fat, a bit of oatmeal, and you're good to go. It's traditionally had breakfast time, usually with a full English as a wee bonus. You get it on lots of, like, breakfast buffets. I actually think it's kind of rank, so I stick away from it. But very British.
Okay.
There you go.
Nice.
Made of fat and blood. Not really surprising.
So the only culinary thing that Pete's willing to stick up from England is Marmite, and that just kind of shows.
Shows my culture.
The bar we're standing in. Yeah, so I think I can kind of, I think, you know, you can just admit, Pete, you're just being petty, despite it. You don't need to keep up this fake opinion of yours that you don't even believe in. It's all right, mate.
I still don't understand how either of them is edible, so it's like either Marmite or Vegemite.
Yeah, I mean.
So I've got.
Are we going to get into this again?
No.
On this part? We're just going to make this a running gag.
Nope, we're just going to stop here and go straight to whatever the Australian delicacy is.
Yeah. Shrimps and the Barbie. I don't know. There must be something.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. What do we got? We got. To be honest, I didn't actually really prepare for this, so. I thought Vegemite was going to be the one, and then Pete just, you know, drew it out of me with his, you know, just being an insecure. I don't know, like.
If you're struggling, I've got one.
Yeah, what do you got?
Okay, so this one's a bit of a multiple choice one. There are some very big restaurant chains in America, and some have made them over to the UK. I'm going to list three options here. Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and Chipotle. There is only one of those that has restaurant chains in the UK. Which one is it?
Wow.
Yeah, that's surprising. I feel like Wendy's trying to compete with like Burger King or McDonald's internationally just isn't going to happen too easily. So I'm going to go with Chipotle, I think.
Winner, chicken dinner. Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I got something. Did you know that, a little bit of a fact here, the Australian version of Burger King is called Hungry Jack's.
I did not know it. That's cool.
Okay.
That's what that is. I think it's they used to play commercials during NBL games, I think. And so I kept being like, oh, I wonder what that is. It never makes it over here, so didn't worry about it. Did not realize that was Burger King affiliated or the like. That's interesting.
I mean, so Australian, like, I don't know, I could just bring up, like, but I'm sure, like, I can only just think of the obvious stuff right now, like Tim Tams and Lamingtons. I'm sure you've, like, heard of them or had them.
Wait,
Tim
what was
Tams,
that?
Like, there's just chocolate biscuits and you know what that is, right?
No.
Nope, never heard of them. I mean, I know what a chocolate biscuit
Tim
is.
Tim Tams.
Yeah, you're just saying, okay. You're saying nonsense right now.
those are completely foreign to me.
Are you having a stroke?
Wait, what?
Literally foreign.
Yeah, no, none of us.
Is my internet cutting out?
No, we understand the words you're saying.
Okay.
We just haven't heard.
This is like earlier today when you guys were talking about that guy in the Celtics who wears number 15, and I don't even know who he is. that was like the same. Tim Tams are just, I don't know, like they're like a. Oh, is it because I said biscuit and you guys just sort of that crap buttery shit you guys eat with chicken?
No, I understand what you mean by a biscuit. I was just
a little jig at had biscuits.
Like the closest mental image I have to them really is like
Oreos,
the Girl Pindex? Scout cookie that?
I just think you're mispronouncing Tic Tacs. I'm all for it.
No. Okay, I'm surprised here, but yes, they're just a biscuit dipped in like a layer of like milk chocolate on the outside, but they're kind of, you know, indulgent sort of, you know, stuff you have on the couch, I guess. But there's that. But I don't really think that like embodies any aspect of Australian culture or anything, because like I've, you know, so. Just a crispy biscuit with chocolate flavor, so can't really go wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'll think of something better for the next time, like something that's actually kind of embodies Australia. Maybe like, you'd probably think we are...
Excellent.
You can try it. Excellent. Great job.
I mean, yeah, I could probably come up, I don't know, like I could bring up, I'm sure someone out there eats like emu eggs or something, so, you know, or could,
right.
Or if someone eats koalas.
I actually watched a video the other day on someone learning how to cook with an ostrich egg.
Okay.
From Bon Appetit, which realistically speaking, that channel was, you know, dead to everyone, but still. Long story, racist hiring practices, don't need to go into it. But yeah, you know, someone eats ostrich
eggs
somewhere.
Emu eggs are the same. Somebody probably grilling up a dingo, you know?
Oh, I dropped my.
Yeah, there you go.